Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and today, as you can tell from the episode title, we are going to talk about the CLC, the Concerned Letter Carriers. They are a slate of carriers who are running for union positions in the next national election and in some regional elections and probably even in some local elections. But before I get into that, I want to talk about why I'm releasing this podcast today. So it coincides with another bit of media that I'm doing on my local national public radio affiliate, KNPR. I'm an occasional guest on there, and I almost always talk about hiking, but I'd been talking to their segment producer about my podcast, and he decided that he wanted to have me on to do a segment about the podcast. And so that podcast will drop today. I'm recording this episode on Monday, July 8th, 2024, and the episode will drop on July 10th, Wednesday. And that's also when my segment on NPR will air, Wednesday, July 10th, even though I'm recording it on July 9th. It's like, dude, podcasting is like time travel. It's madness. So anyway, this podcast has really opened up some cool opportunities for me. I've gotten feedback from people all around the country, which is fantastic. I just talked to a carrier today from California who is trying to get an ice machine at his station, like the carriers at my station banded together and got one. And so we talked about that, and that was really cool. But one of the coolest people I got the chance to talk to was James Henry. He actually called me about a week and a half ago, or just over a week ago, and it was pretty awesome. So let's get into it. Let's talk about first, I'm going to talk about James Henry. He is the person who heads the CLC ticket. He will be running for president as a concerned letter carrier. But the CLC is not just James Henry. If it's just anybody, it's probably Corey Walton more than anything else, because he's kind of been this emotional spearhead of this movement. But let's talk about what, aside from James Henry, what the CLC is. So it has other notable members, including Corey Walton, as I just mentioned, and David Grosskopf. David Grosskopf, well, I'll talk about him in a minute, because it's more than just candidates, it's this larger movement. And that movement comes in two parts. So the first part is mainly a reaction to the failings of our current leadership. And the second part is a recognition of the systemic problems in the NALC. And then the platform addresses both of those problems. So first, let's talk about the failed leadership of Brian Renfro. Obviously, we all know about the delays in the contract. We're well over a year since the last contract expired. And even though that may be normal, that doesn't make it acceptable. And it's become normal over the last few contracts. But, you know, the no-shows that he had for negotiations in the beginning, he's no-showed at union functions, and that certainly can't be helping matters. And even more so, he's leaving the carriers in the dark, where there's a lack of substantive communication. You know, we're not getting the regular updates, or at least not meaningful updates when we do get them, that carriers want. Now, in fairness, I heard on the Bipartisan Buzz podcast that Renfro does hold meetings on WebEx with union presidents. The problem, of course, is that that's only a tiny fraction of his membership. And so how much... There goes Annie unmaking the bed again. All right, so you get to hear that in the background. The problem is how much of that those meetings actually make its way down to the rank-and-file memberships. Well, if you look on Facebook, at NALC Facebook groups, it's clear that very little of that is getting down to the rank-and-file union members. You know, we always have these same questions. What are we asking for in the new contract? When should we expect it to be done? What's the holdup? Stuff like that. And even if he is sharing this to this close circle or these union presidents, it's not getting passed along to the rest of the membership. And clearly he's willing to talk about it, because he talks about it to them, he talks about it to the post office when he's negotiating, but he won't pass it along to the rank and file member. And that's very frustrating. you know, why would he only give that information to middlemen? What prevents him from giving that information to the rest of us? And of course, it's not just about the contract, but it's emblematic of what the real problem is. You know, this lack of communication and this lack of leadership. So, among other things, he says that he has a contract in place that we could approve today. In fact, he's been saying that for months. But he won't tell us what it is. He won't tell us what's in that contract. He won't tell us how far away it is from what he actually wants. And he won't give us the information that we need to actually make an informed decision and say, hey, this contract actually seems pretty damn good. I think I'd rather just get this behind us and start working on it. Because, you know, the contract is not just money. It's also working conditions. And if there are significant improvements to working conditions, then every day that that contract gets delayed, it's a day that we work in inferior working conditions. So he won't tell us these things. And this secrecy leads to distrust. And at this point, there's enough distrust built up between his personal failings with his alcoholism. And, you know, apparently he's gotten treatment for that, and that's great. But he let the union down. And so we have this distrust, and there's not really a good reason to trust him going forward. I don't see him doing the things to earn back that trust. So anyway, the list of complaints about Renfro can go on, but there's more to the CLC, the Concerned Letter Carriers, than being anti-Renfro. So let's talk about some of the systemic problems that we're seeing with the NALC. From the top down, our union leadership is insular and unresponsive. You know, it's very hard to get meaningful responses from leadership. It's hard to get access to leadership, and that's from the top down. You may remember in a previous podcast when I talked about calling national to find out about my grievance at the national level, and then my local union president told me that it was inappropriate for me to call national and that I should not do that again. That's what the NLC has become. And so, you know, this is an issue. We have this huge backlog of grievances, and that's like the main function of our union, is to file and resolve these grievances. So at step B, we have 15,000 grievances waiting to be adjudicated. And at the arbitration level, we have 5,000 grievances just waiting to be arbitrated. Justice delayed is justice denied. And all these carriers, you know, some of them, their careers are depending on these decisions, and they're just sitting, waiting. These numbers, by the way, come from the Concerned Letter Carriers website, concernedlettercarriers.com. And presumably the numbers come from Henry himself, and he would know what the numbers are. I mean, he is currently the vice president of our union. So it's up to leadership to set the tone. In the Bipartisan Buzz, the Colorado State Association of Letter Carriers podcast, the Colorado State president called on his branch presidents to set up lines of communication with the aim of reaching every member. And this idea that I see on Facebook again and again, and other places as well, Reddit, Instagram, Discord, wherever it is. Well, the AIDA arbitration Discord is pretty good, in fairness. But anyway, this idea of the information is out there, you're just not looking hard enough, it has to change. We're blaming the victims here. If leadership has all of these tools for communicating with us, and that's what the Colorado State president was talking about. You have email chains, you have phone trees, you have text messages, you have your website, you have all these different ways that you can communicate with carriers. And so if carriers aren't getting the word, if they're not receiving the word, it's because leadership isn't putting out the word in ways that carriers have access to. And then they turn around and blame our carriers for being the ones in the dark. Leadership can turn on the lights and throw open the doors, but they don't. And that's where the CLC comes in, right? That's a big part of what the CLC is about. Because the CLC wants to do exactly that. They want to open the lines of communication and reestablish the idea that the union leadership is there to serve its members. And it's an easy talking point to say, yes, we serve our members. The current leadership probably says that, even though they don't appear to mean it. But there are specific policies in the platform for the CLC that accomplish it. So in just a minute, we're going to get to those policies, but right now I want to talk about James Henry himself. He is the candidate for president on the CLC ticket. So on Sunday, June 30th, I had a 15-minute conversation with him. And the only time before then that I'd seen him was at the Region 1 wrap session, the one where I actually got to ask Renfro about what the planned pay is for the new hires. And by the way, he still didn't give a straight answer. He said it's Table 1, and then I had to go look up Table 1 myself. Like, dude, if you know the number, just say it. Like, but again, this is like deception, it's obfuscation. All right, we're talking about James Henry. So anyway, James Henry was there, and I was really impressed with him. He came on with enthusiasm, with power, and really came across as a leader, as a motivator of his union brothers and sisters and siblings. And I was really impressed with him. And then in our personal conversation, when he called me, we got to talk about the need to reestablish integrity of the office of president. You know, James Henry is a Marine. And he knows how to get shit done. And he's not afraid to work. And he comes across as this really straightforward, honest, caring guy who really wants to do right by the union. This guy fought for carriers at the local level. He fought at the branch level. And he was a national level arbitrator, or at least a regional arbitrator. I'm not sure which, to be honest with you. But he was an arbitration advocate. I think he was a national arbitration advocate. So he knows what goes into fighting against management and winning. And so do the other people running in the CLC. You know, take, for example, Corey Walton. If you listen to my podcast, it's a pretty safe bet that you also listen to From A to Arbitration. If you don't, I highly recommend it. And there is no doubt of the kind of fight that is in that guy. He is so fired up to take care of his brothers and sisters. And that's the kind of fight we want in our union. At least that's the kind of fight I want in my union. I want my union stewards to be enthusiastic about going to bat against management and helping out their fellow carriers. I try to be that way as a union steward. And you know Corey Walton is that way. And then the other known candidate, I don't think he's announced a specific position, but David Grosskopf. He's the union president of Branch 3 up in Buffalo, and among other great things that he's done, he fought against the post office plan to move a mail processing plant from Buffalo to Rochester. This was earlier this year, if I remember correctly, and he organized pickets, he got with the local media, he got with local politicians, and he won. The post office changed its plan and did not move that processing plant from Buffalo to Rochester. So the rest of the formal ticket and even the position, I mean, Corey has said openly that he's running for business agent, and that's awesome. The rest of the ticket isn't announced yet, but you can be sure that it's going to include more fighters like these people. All right, now let's talk about the platform. A lot of the platform that's on the website right now is just a reaction to what's happened to our union under its current leadership. But it's not just reaction like, oh, this really sucks. It's reaction with tangible steps to prevent these sort of things from happening again. And it has steps in it that keep the union accountable, including whoever the new president is. And so that speaks to Henry's integrity, that he's planning to institute all of these rules that if he becomes president, they're going to apply to him. So here's some quotes from his platform. Quote, I will lift the veil of secrecy that surrounds national headquarters. I will ensure the Executive Council minutes and financial reports will be published in the postal record. Dude, so that means we're finally going to know what's going on at headquarters. What are these people doing? What are they talking about? What's going on? What are the plans? He's going to make that part of his platform, that this stuff actually gets published. And that's what I mean by throwing the door open. Here's another one. Quote, I will direct the Executive Council to establish a sexual harassment policy that applies to all national officers. And, quote, will direct the Executive Council to establish an attendance control policy requiring all officers to request leave for absences. So that was a problem with the charges against Renfro, is he didn't like call in sick essentially when he didn't show up. And the response to that is, well, who do I have to call into? I'm the president. You know, I don't have to answer to anybody. And so these new policies, if Henry gets elected, will go into effect. And again, they're going to apply to him as well. He's limiting his own or increasing his own accountability. Does this sound like the policies of somebody who plans to shirk his responsibilities as president? No, this is somebody who's not afraid of throwing the door open and being held responsible and held accountable. And that's exactly what we need. The platform calls for the reestablishment of a director of education. And if you listen to this podcast, you know that's something that I am particularly passionate about. My heart is in teaching. I went to school to be a teacher. I want to continue teaching. And honestly, the idea of this education focus is how I got to talk to Henry in the first place. Because I realized, like, oh my gosh, I have a voice with this podcast. Maybe I can use that to reach more people and to really follow my passion within the union. And so I sent messages to David Grosskopf and to Corey Walton, because those are the ones that I have access to, saying, hey, I'm really interested in offering my services as a teacher, as an instructor, something like that, to the CLC. It's something that I'm really good at. It's something that I bring to the table. And if it can help the CLC, I want to be part of it. And Corey actually passed my information along to James Henry, and that's how I wound up getting the phone call, which was really cool. All right, so that's teaching, right? Already fantastic. Dude, please, please, more of that. And Henry used to be an instructor, so he probably, you know, he has a lot of that same passion. All right, there are specific plans to address hostile working environments, which is all too common at the post office. So here's another quote. Quote, we will create task forces of well-trained and aggressive advocates to intervene in those work sites with hostile work environments in order to eliminate the harassment, bullying, intimidation, and manipulation of letter carriers. The initial focus of these task forces will be to address environmental issues with every resource in the book. We will spread the net of responsibility as far and as wide as needed to uproot the enablers who permit abusive managers to remain on the workroom floor. Once that process is underway, we will focus on training local shop stewards and officers to aggressively engage every level of management until city letter carriers are treated with dignity and respect. Now, once again, this is a talking point, and yeah, anybody can say this, but nobody has been saying it, and that tells me something about who James Henry is and what the CLC is all about, and what they plan to do to change the direction of this union. The platform of the CLC also calls for an organizing director who will rally public support for letter carriers and will train local leaders to do the same. So how great would it be to have leaders all around the country like David Grosskopf, people who know how to organize protests, how to use the media to our benefit, you know, and really draw on that massive public support that we have that our current union leadership just doesn't seem interested in. Another platform, quote, I will refrain from modifying our contract by memos and advocate for new contract language when necessary. Furthermore, I will never, ever agree to any program or process that is non-grievable. Guys, the alternative dispute resolution process is fundamentally broken. I have my personal experience with it with the Carrier Academy. When I got kicked out of the Carrier Academy and there was no grievance that could be filed, I had to go through this alternative process. And it's the same with our route adjustments, with the TRAP, which recently, I guess, that we've stopped doing it. But it's this process that's built in that management has to just come to the table and be agreeable. And yes, sometimes they do that, but I'm not interested in putting my faith in management. And again, my experience with the Carrier Academy tells me that if they can get away with just not being cooperative, they will. So the platform specifically says, no, I'm not doing that anymore. The alternative dispute resolution process, if we can't agree with it, we don't want any part of it. The platform also specifically calls for a new route adjustment process. You know, the M39 is Section 2, it's outdated, and TRAP gives management too much control, and there's no contractual checks on their decision, no grievance process. So we got to come up with something better, and that's what he's committed to. Now, once again, that's something that's easy to say. Yeah, we want to do something better. Of course, we all want something better. But again, oh, hold on, my screen just went dark. Oh boy. Well, I'm going to keep recording, and I guess we'll see if if it is in fact. Oh, good, it is still recording. Okay, that was a new one on me. All right. So anyway, getting back to the quotes. Quote: "We are opposed to any inference of a street standard for letter carriers. I'm very confident that the NALC can come to an agreement that properly adjusts a letter carrier's assignment to as close to 8 hours as possible without giving away the store." And of course, by giving away the store, he's talking about not being able to grieve the results. And these memos that Corey talks about all the time on From A to Arbitration, where we get all of a sudden this 22-minute load time and the 60-minute office time and, you know, all these crap. Parameters, they called them, that now management is using against carriers. So he directly calls that out in this platform point. Next, quote, "Escalating remedies for contract violations. Escalating remedies isn't a bad thing. Repeated and continual contract violations is a bad thing. The current administration has a genuine lack of empathy for the level of frustration within the rank and file caused by management's continual violation of work rules, including distribution of overtime, number of hours worked, and inappropriate and sometimes cruel behavior of management. The calculus is simple. Stop violating the contract or face ever-increasing remedies until upper management can find someone to run a station without violating the contract. If we are to improve working conditions, we need the tools in the contract that facilitate holding management accountable." Dude, amen. That is so true. What good is having a contract if management will just continue to violate it without consequence? Telling them to stop violating the contract is a waste of time, because they already know they're not supposed to violate the contract. Oh, really? We're supposed to abide by the contract? Oh, thanks for letting us know. Clearly, that's not enough to stop them. The contract alone should already be enough to stop them. So, this is the deal. They're going to start supporting these escalating remedies, which I think is fantastic. Next, this one is about all this overtime and excessive overtime and forced overtime and things like that. Quote, "Staffing and excessive work hours. After years of mutual understanding that the 1260 work hours limit was supposed to be a hard stop maximum work hour limit, management has flipped the script. Today, letter carriers are being forced to work beyond the maximum limits as much as 16 hours per day, more in some cases, because of improper staffing. It's not even a shared sacrifice, because management will take letter carriers off the floor as 204Bs and make them closing supervisors so management can maintain their 8-hour days. In other cases, management will detail carriers from one office to another, which causes forced overtime issues in the losing station. It's obvious that management is being willfully negligent, forced overtime being a strategy. Rather than taking up the fight over proper staffing, the previous and now current administration signed a Memorandum of Understanding, M1968, which facilitates management's understaffing strategy. Rather than taking up the fight in support of escalating remedies for overtime violations, the current administration sees them as punitive and a bigger problem than the violation itself. Now, the Renfro administration has floated the idea of removing the overtime caps to allow you a right you already have, not to work beyond 1260. The current administration approach is typical of weak, hat-in-hand, give-back negotiations. As your president, I will ensure the enabling memo M1968 is withdrawn post-haste. I will direct the Executive Council to submit 3 resolutions to be brought before the convention delegates seeking contract language requiring carrier delivery units to be properly staffed, giving letter carriers the right to refuse to work beyond 12 hours, and cease and desist language with escalating remedies be included in the national agreement. Our collective experience with the Postal Service has taught us that if the union is not a lion, carriers are prey. Dude, that's some good stuff right there. All right. And my screen has gone dark again. Ah, there we go. Now it's back. I wonder why that's happening. All right. Anyway, finally, Henry is on board with open bargaining. Quote, in addition to publishing the NALC bargaining positions during negotiations, I will ensure frequent bulletins and produce updated podcasts, oh, all the cool people have podcasts, outlining the union activities on your behalf. I will call in the membership for a demonstration of solidarity and support for our bargaining objectives. In short, whether or not the open bargaining resolution passes, we can follow its intent and spirit to the extent circumstances will allow. Once again, we're throwing the doors open and making everybody a part of this union. This guy gets it. The CLC gets it. And there's a lot more to come. More candidates are going to be added to the slate. There'll be more platform positions. And most importantly, we're going to start getting more of what we're not getting from our current NALC leadership. Openness, accountability, and transparency. So I've offered my services as a trainer to the CLC. It's the one thing that I'm really good at. I offer my endorsement to the CLC, and I offer my endorsement to James Henry personally. And I've put my money where my mouth is. I sent a $100 donation to the CLC. To do the same, you can go to concernlettercarriers.com, and there's a place to donate there, I think, using Zelle, although there may be more payment options up and running right now. But Zelle works great for me. And, you know, all of this is a place to start. This movement to bring the union back to its carriers, to hold our own leadership accountable, has to start somewhere, and this is where. So I hope you'll join me in this fight. It's our union, you and I. We run this union, we are the union, and it's time for our leadership to start acting like it. To learn more, to become part of the movement, go to concernlettercarriers.com. And thank you guys for listening. Next episode, I'm going to go back to doing what I do best, and that is education. All right, guys, take care.